wrapping up week 13 of the Buckmaster Show, and I welcome you to the Buckmaster Show for Friday, April the 1st, 2011. I'm Bill Buckmaster on KJLL AM 1330 and always on the World Wide Web at buckmastershow.com. Friday Focus is here. That means we bring in a newsmaker into the studio for questioning by myself and one of our reporter roundtable regulars. This week it's Jim Nintzel from the Tucson Weekly. And this week's Friday Focus features a newsmaker interview with Tucson City Manager Mike Letcher. Mr. Letcher, good to see you.
Well, good to be here, Bill.
You've been in the news recently on several occasions. Yeah. Let's talk about this Gadsden deal. The public might not really understand the full implications of it. You apparently signed off on this in January before the council had given formal approval. Do I have that somewhat correct?
Well,
go ahead.
Bill, somewhat.
Set us straight.
Somewhat. Let me just clarify. First of all, the council did give me approval to extend the timelines because this agreement is structured in such a way that the Gadsden, who is the developer that we signed a development agreement with in 2008, has to meet some requirements in order for the senior housing, Mr. Greenbaum's project. And we want the senior housing project to happen. So I had to approve a timeline change that would allow the project for them to close, which was, I think it's May 16th. The most critical thing that I approved was the developer had to put in a water line, and we needed to get started on that water line, so I had to approve that to proceed. The deal points have not exact deal points on transferring the property from the city, the Gadsden, have not been completely worked out yet, and that is something that I will be taking back to the council for their approval. So the deal points are not something that I approved as part of that. Only thing I did was to make sure the project continued to move down the pipeline and hopefully eventually to get senior housing constructed on that side of the highway. Now, with that being said, I did inform the council. I should have sent a memo to them. I called them. I should have sent a memo to them and made it public and made the public aware of what we were doing. And that's where I fault myself. I did contact my bosses, but I should have let the public know.
Can we back up a little bit and kind of explain, because I think a lot of our listeners out there aren't really aware of what we're talking about here in terms of the deal. And, of course, they probably read about the whole land flip in the newspapers. But let's talk a little bit about what this project is, what exactly is going on here.
Yeah, and let's explain. This was a competitive development agreement. Competitive, I mean that everyone in the nation had an opportunity to compete for this project.
And
it's property on the Santa Cruz River on the west side of I-10. Some of it used to be landfill, but it's property that was originally purchased with community development. Like 90% of it is community development block grant funds.
And it's on Congress Street.
And it's on Congress.
It's actually original Rio Nuevo site when people were originally talking about Rio Nuevo.
Right, and it's near some of the sites where we were going to have the university, the Convento, the Mission Gardens, and it's in that area. It is the designated Rio Nuevo area. So this Gadsden received the development agreement. And the idea was the city would, with certain conditions that the developer made, the city would sell the developer property at a discount. And then the developer would use that discount to put in the infrastructure. They would sell the property to someone to develop that would purchase the property, but they would use that discount that we've sold it to them for, to put in the infrastructure for the development to take place. And that's exactly what's happening to the senior project. If you look at the overall, most of the money that between the $250,000 that we're going to sell the land to Gadsden for and the $1.4 that he is then going to sell it that he's going to sell and make from the senior housing, all but about $110,000 of that's going back into the property. Now, we are giving him a credit of about $180,000 that he can then apply towards purchasing more property in the future, but the majority of it's going back into the project. So the design of the development agreement was great in terms of, you know, using city land to leverage development that would ultimately generate jobs and sales tax and things like that. The problem is that we ran into a recession.
And this, and so the idea shifted a little bit. Now you have a senior housing complex that's going in on the property. And how many units are we talking about?
Talking about 143. But it really, when we say shift, initially that was going to be workforce housing, let's say 70 low-income workforce housing. So you went from building a workforce housing, low-income, maybe 70 people to 143 seniors. So I think in terms, and this is what we try to emphasize, because some folks have said, well, why aren't you putting private, you know, or a prof, like a business or some profitable development on that side? Well, the fact is that was designed for low-income, to essentially benefit low-income people. A property was purchased with money to benefit low-income. So now what we have is 143 units being built, $28 million in construction, which will go to hopefully a lot of local firms. So we'll, you know, be able to keep people employed in construction. So it's a good thing.
And it will allow you to possibly transfer folks who are now living in the Armory Park apartments? Right.
To that, it'll allow us to transfer. We've got the units at Armory Park have seen their time, and this will allow 143 of those seniors to transfer. More importantly, within a couple of years, the certification for low income in that Armory Park would have lapsed, which meant that building could have gone private. And then can you imagine 143 seniors? You know, maybe some people don't care about that. I do, being put on the street. My mom's low, she only lives on Social Security. I wouldn't want that. So this is really a good thing. It'll move the seniors to new apartments on the west side. It'll meet the requirements that land was purchased for. We'll get $28 million in construction. We'll have the Armory building, which I think will probably, Mr. Greenbaum, will turn into apartments or put it back into the market rate housing.
It's about 13 minutes past the hour. Mike Letcher is the Tucson City Manager. He's our Friday Focus. Jim Nintzel from the Tucson Weekly is joining me in the questioning. While we're talking about downtown, U of A will be doing some student housing downtown. Is that moving forward?
We've had some conversations with the U of A, and they're keeping their cards close to their vest. The only thing I hear is there's going to be an announcement. I thought last week, I was hoping this week. I hope next week they may, and I hope it's a positive announcement. That would be a major benefit to the downtown to have the student housing, not only from a commercial standpoint, but it'd be nice to have some more construction activity.
Where would it be, and how many units are we talking about?
Well, there's a number of sites in the downtown area. I know that the sites that obviously look at least as some potential, there's Campbell site, Jim Campbell's, the garage that's being constructed currently. There's a site there. There's also Peach
down
property
next door to the Rialto Theater.
Yeah, the Rialto Theater. There's another site near there also that's under consideration. I think La Placida was one of the areas, and there's a couple more of them spread throughout the downtown. But we should know within another week, and I hope it's a positive announcement.
You've got about a minute before we take our first break. Tell us about downtown. Is it coming back?
It's definitely coming back. There's a significant investment and this is private sector investment primarily, over $100 million in starting in 10 in terms of construction. So I think people are starting to see with the streetcar coming down some synergism happening. I think this is going to be a total game shifter if the university puts housing downtown, because that will generate a substantial amount of additional economic activity in the East End. Our big challenge is going to be, what do we do with the convention center and that area now that we're not moving forward to Convention Center Hotel. So the East End is, I think, really moving along well. The question now becomes, what do we do with the convention center area and that area to get some stimulation going down there for development.
16 minutes past the hour. We're going to take a commercial break here. Hear from the fine Buckmaster Show sponsors. Mike Letcher will be here when we come back, as will Jim Nintzel. Back in a couple minutes.
The Arizona Inn is the only Tucson hotel named by Travel and Leisure magazine as one of the top 500 hotels in the world for 2011. Located in Midtown, close to the University of Arizona, the Arizona Inn is located at 2200 East Elm Street and on the web at arizonainn.com. The Arizona Inn maintains AAA Four Diamond status for both the hotel and dining room, with Chef Allison serving up breakfast, lunch, and dinner daily, with a featured menu and seasonal favorites. And because the Arizona Inn is listed on the National Register of Historic Places, founded by Arizona's first Congresswoman, Isabella Greenway, the Arizona Inn provides an historic backdrop for your next special event. Arizona Inn is the perfect setting for weddings, anniversary celebrations, or your next business meeting, and you can make your reservations online at arizonainn.com. The Arizona Inn, luxury and elegance in the heart of Tucson.
Sarnoff Artist Materials is your one-stop store for fine and graphic artist supplies, framing, stationery, and Mont Blanc and other top-of-the-line writing instruments. Order online at sarnoffart.com or visit owner-operator Henry Sarnoff and his store staffed by artists, for artists, and those who seek the finest quality in everything art-related. Sarnoff Artist Materials, 2504 North Campbell, three blocks north of Grant, and always at sarnoffart.com.
Taste pizza as it was meant to be at Vero More, Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pizza, topped with the finest, freshest quality ingredients. Enjoy casual yet upscale dining while sampling our extensive boutique wine list. Vero More in Tucson at North Swan and Camp Lowell, Dove Mountain in Marana, and on the web at VeroMorePizza.com. And coming soon, Noble Hops, Tucson's first gastro pub.
Let Karimi Oriental Rugs keep your valuable area rugs looking like new with Tucson's finest cleaning, repair, and restoration services. Karimi specializes in restoring antique, silk, and Navajo rugs with 100% satisfaction guarantee. Karimi Oriental Rugs appraises and purchases quality rugs and offers a vast selection of hand-woven rugs from around the world. Be sure to stop by Karimi Oriental Rugs at Fort Lowell and Dodge or on the web at KarimiOrientalRugs.com.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our citizens realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and create a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in and support of education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's Pima Community College students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a literate, prosperous, thriving Tucson and Pima County. During these extraordinarily tough times, our funding is in serious jeopardy. And as budgets get even tighter, we'll have to cut back services just when people need us the most. So please support us in our ongoing effort to build a better tomorrow. Help us provide the education and resources that the people of Pima County need today. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us on the web at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
Imagine a jewelry store that is both sophisticated and organic, where Tucson's rich cultural heritage mingles with contemporary design. We invite you to Veer Jewelers, where our commitment to customer service is surpassed only by our reputation for creating inspired custom jewelry that is as unique as our customers. At Veer Jewelers, you are warmly welcomed, whether you are bringing in an heirloom for repair or design, replacing a watch battery, or shopping for a special gift. Visit our unique showroom, centrally located on Campbell, just north of Grant, or visit our website at veerjewelers.com. Veer Jewelers, Tucson's trusted jeweler for more than 25 years.
It's 20 minutes past the hour. This is Friday Focus on the Buckmaster Show. Remember, we're always at buckmastershow.com. Mike Letcher is with us. He's the Tucson City Manager. And Jim Ninsel is here from the Tucson Weekly. And I want to ask you about the Grant Road overhaul starting this fall. It's a big job, $167 million project along Grant. Most of that money comes from the half-cent RTA sales tax plus, I guess, about $6 million in city funding. This could be a traffic nightmare, couldn't it, along Grant, or am I off base here?
No, Bill, you're not off base. I think, first of all, I think the RTA staff and our city folks and businesses and residents along there have done a great job in terms of a lot of community forums up front on this project, so people really understand what's happening, and there's the infrastructure in place to make sure that, you know, it's as smooth as possible. But that's going to be major construction and a major business corridor, major, you know, we've got a lot of residents in that area, and there's going to be some inconveniences, and I don't want to use this term sort of facetiously, but bumps in the road. There'll be some bumps in the road, but I think at the end of the day, we're going to end up, which is what everybody wants, with a safer and more efficient road. But we're hopeful that and we're prepared for things to move smoothly. We obviously don't want to interrupt the primary thing is obviously the residents and their peace and quiet, but also it's very important to make sure business activity is not interrupted, and you know, folks lose money and have downturn in their businesses because of this construction activity.
And the project starts at Oracle and moves.
It's Oracle to Swan.
Okay,
I think. Yeah.
So there'll be some turning restrictions.
There'll be turning. What's going to happen now is you're not going to be able to, and as I understand, in a lot of cases, make left turns. You're going to have to do sort of U-turns now.
Okay.
I'm still scratching my head and trying to figure out how that is going to work. But I assume engineers are smarter than me. So, you know, it's sort of like, and I want to deviate a bit, like Sedona, after I left, they put in these roundabouts, and it was a couple of years before I could get up there and see how these roundabouts on work. And they work. I thought, I was very skeptical. They work. I think these turns will work
too. I'm sure Jim Glock, your city transportation director, and Gary Hayes at RTA and all his people have worked something out that hopefully won't have a lot of impact.
You know, one of the complaints that Councilman Steve Kosachik and others have raised about the RTA construction projects is the request that Tucson Water pay for the pipeline relocations as part of that. What are your thoughts on that particular expense? Because, of course, it water department is then paying a little bit more, and the road construction costs a little bit less.
Yeah,
in a sense.
You know, again, I think that there was, you know, Councilmember Kosachik has raised a concern because in his sense is that that was not clearly articulated as part of the voter approval. And I, you know, obviously my memory,
And RTA says it actually was.
Right, and so that's one of the issues. But it's a practice that we've had for a number of years, not just on RTA projects, but on other projects where, you know, any relocation of the lines are paid by the utility, in this case, Tucson Water. Now, one of the things that you have to take into consideration, the relocation or location of these lines in a lot of instances are advantageous for us, because once the road, you know, they trench and clear the road, and we have to, in a lot of cases, we would have had to upgrade that main anyway.
Some of these pipelines are pretty old.
Well, are old, so it's advantageous to, while the road's being, look, we'd be, it's advantageous for us to do the work anyway. So I know Councilmember Kosachik's got some concerns about that. I think that it's something that the RTA really needs to address through what the voters actually approved. But from our standpoint, it's something we've pretty consistently done 4 years, and will continue to do unless I get a different direction from the council.
Let me ask you about mini dorms. There's been a slight change over at the city in terms of their interpretation of how some of these larger homes that are being constructed in university neighborhoods are going to be classified in the future in terms of whether they're single family dwellings. Do I understand that correctly?
Well, there has been an interpretation by our zoning folks and council. I know there's going to be a public discussion on that next Tuesday on how these homes are treated. I'm not an attorney and don't feel in any way I have the experience to speak on this, but I think the real question that's being asked is, can these be considered a single-family home, and are they appropriate for single-family areas? And I think that's a question that I know is going to be discussed by the attorney and our zoning folks publicly on Monday or Tuesday, and then next Tuesday we're going to go in executive session, and you know, we'll see what comes out of that. I know there's a lot of motions on both sides about this.
And would that affect the existing homes that have already been built, the existing mini dorms that have been built, or is this in the ones going forward?
Jim, that's a great question. I think that's going to be clarified. That's one of the questions that Councilmember Gazacek's asked a number of questions that he's asked the zoning folks to clarify. Personally, I can't answer that right now, but I know on Tuesday, those questions are going to, because that's one of them, is this going to be something that is retroactive or prospective, meaning that for new or old, or is it for the ones that are existing, that this would be put into place? And so that's something that's going to be clarified on Tuesday, and we'll kind of move ahead from there.
This budget that's moving forward past the Senate, now approval is pending in the House. What kind of impact would that have on the city?
Well, it looks like, right now, knock on wood, unless they do some reconsideration, that there's going to be very probably negligible impact on us. They did keep state shared revenue whole, which is our biggest concern. Where we're hurt more is in the census. I shouldn't be laughing about that, but to a certain extent, I'm happy.
Population
loss, and we were really sweating bullets. We thought we were going to, on the state shared revenue side, we thought we were going to lose millions of dollars, and we fortunately came out to where it'll be under $1 million, hopefully well under $1 million. Where we're going to get hurt is in our highway user revenue fund, what's called the HERF fund. We're going to lose about $2 million, and that fund's already hurting. That's where we really got hit, because other areas are expanding. I'll give you an example. Surprise, Arizona went from like 35,000 to 100,000. They're getting $6 million more in state shared revenue.
Yeah, I think Maricopa had about 8 people 10 years ago, and now they have 50,000. So,
kind of a surprise. Last question, Jim. We've got less than 2 minutes.
How is the city budget progressing?
City budget, there's good news, really good news, and something I think the whole community can be proud of with the city budget. We've gone from about a $55 million deficit with cuts and some revenue. We didn't get the renter's tax or some of the other revenues that the council considered to be non-business friendly. We should have our structural deficit from 55 down to hopefully below 10 million this year. That's good news. The other good news is our revenues are stabilizing. They're not dropping. The bad news is, and this gets to something Marshall Vest said, when I first heard it, I was like, what in the heck is a U? the recovery is going to be U, where you drop and then you're in the bottom for a while,
bottom of the U,
and then you're out. The problem is, he's right, and I'm going to have to tell him that. We are now in, our revenues have flatlined. We went from about 180 million in sales tax to 159. Now we're at 166 million, but it's continuing at 166 million. And it's going to continue for a while. We're flat now.
Mike Letcher, Tucson City Manager, thank you for being on our Friday Focus on the Buckmaster Show. Thanks a lot. And Jim Nintzel, we'll see you in a few moments with the Friday Roundtable. Stay with us.
This is Tucson's Jolt.
Are you listening?
I'm going to interrupt your thought pattern.
AM 1330, KJLL, South Tucson.
CNN Radio, I'm Bill Caiaccio. The job picture in the U.S. is improving. The U.S. economy gained 216,000 jobs last month, and unemployment fell to 8.8%, its lowest level in 2 years. Analyst Scott Brown says there's still a lot to worry about.
There may be some concerns that if oil prices continue to creep up a bit, gasoline prices stay really high, that a lot of the positive momentum may be dampened in the months ahead.
Wall Street seems to like the jobs report. Right now, the Dow's up over 90 points. Ford's auto sales for the month beat GM's for the first time since 1998. An opposition leader in Libya is making a ceasefire offer, but he says the ultimate goal is still to remove Muammar Gaddafi from power. Security forces fired shots into groups of demonstrators in Syria today. Witnesses say at least 3 people were killed and dozens were hurt. The most trusted name in news. This is CNN Radio.
Hey there, how's it going? My name's Eric, and I work at Lowe's. Come into Lowe's today and receive free basic carpet installation when you purchase any Stainmaster carpet and Stainmaster carpet pad. And speaking of free with purchase, now get a free John Deere dump cart, a $199 value with the purchase of any John Deere 100 series tractor or zero-turn radius mower. Lowe's, let's build something together. Offers valid 3/30/11 to 4/4/11. Some restrictions apply. See store for details. Valid in U.S. only.
Well, the economy is at it again. It's up, it's down, it's sideways. Frankly, it's confusing. At Advance Auto Parts, we're going to make things simple for you. Right now at Advance, we're offering you 5 quarts of Castrol GTX conventional motor oil plus a Fram Extra Guard oil filter for only $17.99. See store for details. We got the high-quality supply, you get the money-saving demand. That's economics everyone can appreciate. Advance Auto Parts. Service is our best part.
Listed on the National Register of Historic Places and founded by Isabella Greenway, Arizona's first congresswoman, the Arizona Inn is still the standard bearer for luxury hospitality in Midtown Tucson, just minutes from the University of Arizona. Founded in 1930, the Arizona Inn continues to win top honors for hospitality and dining. Travel and Leisure magazine names the Arizona Inn one of the top 500 hotels in the world for 2011. And the Arizona Inn is proud of its AAA four diamond status for both the hotel and dining room. Whether it's for breakfast, lunch, or dinner, or a private event, you can count on Chef Allison's featured seasonal culinary creations to please. The Arizona Inn, a special oasis of hospitality in Midtown Tucson, 2200 East Elm, and on the web at arizonainn.com.
With 30 projects under construction, including work at La Cañada Drive and the First Avenue bus pullouts, the Regional Transportation Authority is delivering our promise to you already. RTA has completed 174 projects, including 5 major roadways, and launched transit services like Sun Express and Sun Shuttle. Your tax dollars are creating jobs and making travel around our region faster and safer. Please be careful of workers in those areas and obey all traffic signs. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Vero Amore presents Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pizza using fresh homemade mozzarella and the finest quality toppings. Taste pizza as it was meant to be at Vero Amore, casual yet upscale dining with an extensive boutique wine list. Vero Amore in Tucson at North Swan and Camp Lowell, Dove Mountain in Marana, and on the web at veroamorepizza.com. Coming soon, Noble Hops, Tucson's first gastro pub.
Hi, I'm Mark Sublett, owner of Medicine Man Gallery, and I'd like to invite you to come visit me. Medicine Man Gallery is located at 7000 East Tinker Verde, at the southwest corner of Tinker Verde and Sabino Canyon, and online at medicinemangallery.com. With 12,000 square feet of exhibit space, we have a wide array of American paintings, antique Indian art, and contemporary modern art by some of the masters of the West, including Ed Mell, John Moyers, and Maynard Dixon. If you have old Indian art or American paintings you'd like to sell or consign, call me for a free evaluation, as we're always looking to add to our collection. If you can't visit us on Tanker Verde, then visit us online. We have over 6,000 objects to view at medicinemangallery.com. So come visit me, Mark Sublett, at Medicine Man Gallery on the corner of Tanker Verde and Sabino Canyon, where there's always something new to see.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show on KJLL AM 1330 and on the World Wide Web anytime at buckmastershow.com. It's time for our Friday Radio Roundtable. Joining me on the roundtable, Mark Evans of TucsonCitizen.com, Jim Ninsel from the Tucson Weekly, and KJLL radio talk show host John C. Scott. John C., we'll begin with you. You were up in Phoenix, spent a couple of days up there doing some reporting up there. The mood has to be rather somber with all this nonsense going on with the budget battles in the Senate and the House, and then the Republic breaking that huge story about the Fiesta Bowl irregularities.
Well, as I had suggested to the Attorney General when we talked to him, to move the Fiesta Bowl to Tucson. We will not steal as much money, and we'll do the best we can with it. And the state gets to keep, you know, a major event. That's the whole answer to the problem there. But they're worried up there. I mean, you can't listen to any talk radio station in Phoenix and not realize that they think they may lose the whole thing, which is just a huge hit to Phoenix, an enormous economic loss to them if they lost the festival. And there's some serious investigations underway, no question about that.
Well, I don't know that they'll lose the Fiesta Bowl. I think they'll lose their rotation in the BCS, which is where all the money is. There's 37 bowls. And they still have the Insight.com bowl. So they'll probably still be able to keep some sort of bowl game. It's just whether the BCS is going to decertify them and move it to the palace that Jerry Jones built in Dallas. People keep comparing this to ASCAM, which was, if people don't remember ASCAM 20 years or so ago, undercover federal agents caught Arizona legislatures accepting bags full of money for development, and it caused all kinds of outrage, and so people got indicted. We were just talking before the air. I mean, where is the corruption here in terms of there's lots of legislators, 23 legislators who got campaign donations, which may not have been a problem on their end because they didn't know that the people that were making the donations were being reimbursed by the Fiesta Bowl committee, the Fiesta Bowl 501c3, which is a violation of the state finance law. But what you do have is many legislators, Democrats and Republicans, mostly the leadership, getting trips, tickets, and other benefits from the Fiesta Bowl that are in violation of the state's gift ban clause. And you've now seen numerous legislators running to the exits, going to the Secretary of State's office, filing amended financial disclosure forms, and writing checks to pay back the value of the gifts, and all claiming that they had no idea that it was wrong. I didn't know. I find that hard to believe. So to me, there's the tip of the iceberg there. I mean, it's hard for me to believe that the Fiesta Bowl is the only organization in the state of Arizona that is doling out these gifts and benefits to these legislatures that they're failing to disclose. I think they've got their hands caught in this particular cookie jar. I just want to know how many other cookie jars they got their hands in.
But if you already filed your financial statement, that's just like a bank robber who left the note saying, I want all your money, you can go back and say, just kidding, right? I mean, you just write another note and...
Well, that's where we've got to have a good criminal investigation, and I don't really have any confidence that Tom Horn is going to go through and destroy the Republican Party. If this was just Democrats, I think he would gleefully go through and conduct a criminal investigation, and there'd be some grand juries impaneled. But I mean, he's got to do it to his own party now, and I mean, hopefully he'll be a stand-up guy and he'll do what's right and conduct a good investigation, not like the previous Attorney General, although he wasn't Attorney General, he did an investigation, Grant Woods, who did a one-week whitewash on Fiesta Bowl last year.
Jim Nitzel, what do you think of the investigation?
Well, I'm still trying to figure out exactly what the quid was in this quid pro quo. I mean, we know the lawmakers received contributions and trips, but what I'm still not entirely sure of is what the Fiesta Bowl got out of it. Was there an exchange? And what I think is interesting to me, as with the case with Scott Bungard getting pulled over, having the fight with his girlfriend on the side of the highway and the furor that resulted from that, is that the public focuses on these minor things that go on the periphery, but they're really not focused on what's happening with the state budget, which is going to be incredibly devastating across the entire state. And fascinating to me that the things that get the people's attention are these really shiny objects, if you will, and we're really missing the story of how we're about to decimate our universities and our state parks and our education system and our healthcare system. And those stories, they get in the paper, but they don't generate the same kind of outrage as something like the Fiesta Bowl, because people can relate to that more easily.
Yeah, Jim, because the plan, John C. Scott, apparently has been negotiated now between the governor and the Republican legislative leaders, and the cuts will be severe to
education.
Well,
and it's just a matter of how much K-12 will be hit and how much the universities will be hit. I had a fascinating interview with Fred Duvall, a member of the Board of Regents, who said, look, and Ivani said, this is really what's behind the curtain here. There are some very powerful lawmakers that want to privatize all the universities of the state, and they want, and many that want to privatize K through 12, just to make all the public education would not exist in Arizona. And he said that's exactly where a lot of these people are headed. And it is talked about a lot up there. That's not going to happen this year. But at some point, you're going to have to realize what Jim Nensel just clearly said to you, that even if you cut the number of people that you're taking off access to 150,000, 100,000, 200,000 from 280,000, you're still going to literally damage, you know, hospitals and clinics and lose doctors and nurses. You won't even recognize health care once that happens, because somebody's going to pick up the tab for ill people one way or another. And premiums are going to rise for those of us who pay for our health insurance. Hospitals are going to be less able to treat people. And the lines at the emergency room are going to be such so long that you know, you think you were standing in line for a Fiesta Bowl ticket, or or what you were standing in line for. But Jim is right. What they're doing to K through 12, what they're doing to the universities, and what they're doing to healthcare in the state, I think is irreversible for many, many years in the state of Arizona. This legislature will harm the state at a particular level that it may not even be able to recover, as far as what they have been, said they are intending to do, and that is to make it attractive for business, to increase the possibilities of jobs, to offer quality education. They cannot do that cuts. You can't do it.
You had Craig Barrett, former chief executive of Intel Corporation, saying if he had it to do all over again, Mark Evans, if they were going to pick a site for a plant, it wouldn't be in Arizona.
Right.
Or
there's
it wouldn't be in the top 10
I think
sites.
What we're seeing is not only just some pushback, but I think some blowback on what the Republicans are trying to do, in that they have this unique vision of the way things are supposed to be, and they have this enormous majority, and they are going to set about reforming and remaking Arizona. Now, whether they pay any political penalty for that or not, we won't know for another year. But I want to go back to Jim's point real quick, in that I think this Fiesta Bowl thing is a little bit more than just a shiny object, and it's not really comparable to the Bungard thing, because, you know, you get the government you elect. So all this about the budget and so forth is politics. And if you don't like what's happening, you need to get up off your butt and do something about it. But these are, when you're talking about corruption and you're talking about crimes, and this is the latest in what appears to be a return to the old Arizona ASCAM days, and a culture of corruption, especially within Maricopa County. I mean, you've got the federal government right now who's investigating the sheriff's department and Maricopa County. That whole thing has just been a fiasco up there, and that power base up there, that political power base, is also the same political power base that exists in the within the legislature. You know, Pierce is an ally of Joe Arpaio. John Kavanaugh lives, I don't know, a few streets away from Joe Arpaio.
And so you think the Fiesta Bowl thing legs? It has. You think it's a really huge story?
Yeah, I think this stink is going to get on a lot of people, and we are talking about crimes here. Even if there is no quid to the pro quo that we can find, the failure to disclose these gifts is a violation of state law. Now, whether they're just saying, oh, you should have known better, and they don't pay any penalty for it, is still to be determined. But like I said before, I have a feeling that this could turn out to be just the beginning of something.
Well, you know, you may well be right about that, Mark, and I'm not saying that we shouldn't be paying attention to the Fiesta Bowl. I think my larger point is that there are things that are going to be systemic and damaging to this state far worse than what you see happening with the Fiesta Bowl, when you essentially eliminate the state park system, which is what they're on the verge of doing, or when you bring damage to the universities that's so severe that you're actually looking at crippling the institutions or raising tuition to the point where people can't afford to attend the institutions anymore, or when you're raising class sizes to 40. I think that goes to the actual future of the viability of the state. And in the CEOs, when a guy from Intel tells you that he wouldn't even consider Arizona in the top 10, these guys are looking to the future and what is the state going to be like and before they make a major investment. And just knowing that taxes will be low is not enough, I think, correct, to really make it an attractive place to bring people. If your kids aren't going to get an education, if there aren't parks for you to go to enjoy your life here, what's the point of bringing your company here? And I guess I'm not trying to say that the Fiesta Bowl thing is not an important story, because I think it is. Right. I just am frustrated by the fact that these things that are, in a sense, a flash in the pan, get so much more attention than the actual damage in the long term that the state is going to be suffering.
The arrogance of power up there has been unbelievable after the three days we spent there. But power corrupts, and ultimate power corrupts, absolutely. John Kavanaugh says to me when I ask him about the Craig Barrett statement, he said, and this is Barrett, who's given millions to the Republican Party. His wife was a Republican candidate for governor. He's a die-in-the-wool Republican. John Kavanaugh, chair of appropriations in the House, says to me, Craig Barrett doesn't know what he's talking about. This is the guy that founded Intel. He doesn't know what he's talking about. And John Kavanaugh really believes that Craig Barrett doesn't know what he's talking about the 60 corporate executives that influenced the Senate to turn back the 5 anti-legal immigration bills. He said they're just plain wrong. You've got really a sense up there of power, and these people know that power. And when you're chair of appropriations, or you're speaker of the House, or you're the Senate president, you have ultimate power.
And I just want to make this point, is that we are seeing a real separation between the economic drivers of our state and our nation and our political process. And they're becoming significantly separated, and that is a problem for the future of the state and the country.
The editorial that I've written for that's going to be published in the Star on Monday, that I'm going to post on my website today, it goes along what you just said, is that, I think you were also a proponent of clean elections when it first came out. I was a huge proponent of clean elections. I thought this is the way to get the dirty money out of politics. It would allow, people who, really care about their state, they would be able to have some money to run and do something about it. And, well, what happened is we've got this broken primary system in which only the true believers really turn out to vote in both the Democratic and the Republican parties. And so clean elections has allowed cranky crackpots like Al Melvin to get thousands of dollars to run where he never would have. Would have been able to have that much money before. He never would have been able to he might have run for election, but he probably wouldn't have come close to winning.
He'd be a cranky man sitting on his couch yelling at the TV.
Right, exactly. And so now we've got a legislature now that is on the far extremes of the political spectrum, and they're legislating that way. And we all are to blame in some extent. And I agree with everything you said, Jim, but we need to do something about it. And the problem is that it's going to take years. And we might not be, to John's point, we might not be able to fix this for a decade or more.
Well, John, you think we've reached the point of no return. You've said that before.
Well, Democrats are betting on 2012, and I'm not sure that's a very good bet. I think that the system's still in place, just as Mark has said, these conservatives still have a leg up on these primaries, no matter how you draw these lines. And the power is going to shift further to the north. We're going to lose a legislative district. Pinal County is going to gain really what we're losing, and that's going to be even more Republican. So if you're sitting there as a very conservative Republican, certainly in Pinal County, your chances of winning the primary are even better. And then, of course, it's just one step to the general, which it probably isn't going to be a contest, no matter how you draw the lines. Unless the Republican Party and the business community revolt, I mean, it's not going to come from, the masses out there with pitchforks and torches. It's going to be the business community that says, we can't take this anymore. You're hurting us to the point where we're losing out of this. I mean, a letter from the chair of the Arizona Chamber said 1070 did hurt us. He didn't say it until now, but he said 1070 was bad for business. Well, where the hell was he, you know, when all that debate was going on? And 1070 started the tsunami, you know, and it just rolled across the state and took everything in its path. And I'm talking about the Republican juggernaut. But the business community is the only hope the Democratic Party has of reversing the trend in Arizona, which is to privatize everything, including parks, and to literally destroy the state, in my opinion. But if the business...
There's some serious irony there.
You have the business community going in and looting the government as well. They're in there pushing for their tax cuts that are going to phase in over the next 5 years that are going to cause even more budget problems for the state as we move forward and make it even more difficult to restore any of the things we've seen lost this year.
We got to go, guys. Thank you very much. Have a great weekend. Talk. Thanks.
Hi, I'm Mark Sublett, owner of Medicine Man Gallery, and I'd like to invite you to come visit me. Medicine Man Gallery is located at 7000 East Tancredi, at the southwest corner of Tancredi and Sabino Canyon, and online at medicinemangallery.com. With 12,000 square feet of exhibit space, we have a wide array of American paintings, antique Indian art, and contemporary modern art by some of the masters of the West, including Ed Mell, John Moyers, and Maynard Dixon. If you have old Indian art or American paintings you'd like to sell or consign, call me for a free evaluation, as we're always looking to add to our collection. If you can't visit us on Tancredi, then visit us online. We have over 6,000 objects to view at medicinemangallery.com. So come visit me, Mark Sublett, at Medicine Man Gallery on the corner of Tancredi and Sabino Canyon, where there's always something new to see.
Sarnoff Artist Materials is Tucson's award-winning destination for everything art-related, including fine and graphic artist supplies, framing, stationery, and the world's best writing instruments. Visit owner-operator artist Henry Sarnoff at 2504 North Campbell, three blocks north of Grant, and always at the easy-to-navigate website sarnoffart.com. Because it takes an artist to know an artist's needs.
From antique to contemporary, Persia to Pakistan, Tibet to Turkey, Karimi Oriental Rugs brings the world to Tucson at the corner of East Fort Lowell and Dodge. Owner-operator Amir Karimi personally selects the world's finest exquisite hand-woven rugs. Sale, purchase, wash, repair, restore, and appraise. East Fort Lowell and Dodge for Karimi Oriental Rugs and KarimiOrientalRugs.com.
Tucson's Regional Transportation Authority uses your tax dollars to create jobs and make local travel faster and safer. Transit services like Sun Express and Sun Shuttle and the completion of five major roadways are examples of how RTA is delivering on our promises to you. With 174 projects completed and 30 under construction, such as the First Avenue bus pullouts and La Canada Drive, RTA wants to remind you to be careful of road workers and to obey all traffic signs. RTA, delivering our promises to you.
That music means he's out dancing by the pool. He is back in Tucson. Matt Russell, host of the weekly radio show On the Menu Live, which airs Thursday afternoons at 5 here on KJLL, and the host of the Weekend Watch on the Buckmaster Show. Welcome back after your little vacation over in on the coast.
I was out in California, Bill Buckmaster, and I never thought I would ever believe myself or hear me say I am happy to be back in Tucson, where I'm only spending $3.50 a gallon for gas.
Yeah, because it's like a buck more easily over there, isn't it?
It was painful indeed. It's great to be back home.
Yeah, what's this going on? It's called a Crush event at the Tucson Museum of Art.
Absolutely. Tonight, from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. in the beautiful courtyard of the Tucson Museum of Art, is the annual Crush Wine and Food event. Now, Bill, there's going to be over 150 wines for your listeners to taste from around the world, food from some of Tucson's best restaurants, a great silent auction, all happening tonight at the Tucson Museum of Art from 6 to 9. This event is always a sellout. I believe there's a handful of events of tickets for the event still left, which your listeners can find at TucsonMuseumOfArt.org. I'll be there. It's going to be a great evening.
You can jump around on all those grapes, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
But crush them. Crush them, man.
You need a strategy, though. 150 wines in 3 hours. That's a tall order, Bill.
Oh, man. Sip a little here, sip a little there. Oh, boy. Fourth Avenue Street Fair is always a fun event, isn't it?
Since 1970, Bill, they've been doing this event on 4th Avenue between 9th Street and University Boulevard. 400 arts and crafts booths, live entertainment, great kids' activities, wonderful family fun, and it's free. And that's going to be all weekend, but that's my Saturday pick from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m.
Do you have a Sunday pick as well?
I do indeed. This Sunday, one of the Russell family's favorite events of the year is the annual Zen Blues and Barbecue event at the Hacienda del Sol from 4 p.m. to 7 p.m. on Sunday. Zen wine tastings, live blues music, and some of the best barbecue you'll ever sink your teeth into. Again, just a handful of tickets left for Sunday's event. Your listeners can get those tickets by calling 529-3500. Again, I'll be there. This is going to be a wine weekend for Matt Russell.
Yeah, you're going to be a little bit tonight at the Tucson Museum of Art. I don't know about the 4th Avenue Street Fair, if you'll be out there drinking wine. But
family event.
Yeah, and over in California, I'm sure you are drinking a little wine as well and visiting some fine restaurants. But we really have nothing to hang our heads about when it comes to variety of restaurants compared to California, do we?
No, as all of our listeners know, I have often called Tucson the culinary capital of the West. And, you know, you do get a lot of chains out there, which everybody knows, and, you know, you can't deny. One of the great things here about living in Tucson is access to these wonderful Tucson Originals restaurants, local restaurants, independently owned restaurants, the moms and the pops that really do exceptionally things from a culinary perspective that I don't think the big box chains can even compare to.
The On the Menu live show, is that a to be announced on Thursday?
Yeah, absolutely. We do know we're going to be broadcasting live from Main Gate Square as we do on the first Thursday of every month for the First Thursday Art Walk, tying up some loose ends for next Thursday's show, but your listeners should know that I will be broadcasting somewhere on University Boulevard between Park and Euclid Thursday at 5 o'clock.
So find you somewhere along at one of the fine restaurants out there.
If you are standing on Park and University at 5 o'clock, you are bound to hear my roaring voice somewhere. Just follow your nose and follow your ears.
What are some of the favorite On the Menu live shows that you've had over the past year?
I think over the past year, my goodness, is when we look at some of the Tucson Originals restaurants that we've had the unique opportunity to showcase, you know, those are always the best. You know, everyone from Frankie's Cheesesteaks and Hoagies there on Campbell, where I was taught the traditional way to eat a cheesesteak. We get the broadcast live from the new Downtown Kitchen and Cocktails, Janos Wilder's new venture downtown, which was a huge treat to be a part of their grand opening week. We just have so many great shows to think about and talk about. I had a great 46-ounce margarita at the Javelina Cantina at the DoubleTree Hotel. You know, there are worse things in this community, Bill, than to host a food and wine radio show. The fringe benefits are just, you can't count them.
You were seeing double Javelinas after that one. Matt Russell, have a great weekend. Thank you so much.
You did the same, Bill.
Thanks. The Buckmaster Show is brought to you in part by Flowers, Rieger & Associates, certified public accountants, located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com. Flowers & Rieger, the CPA firm of The Buckmaster Show. The Buckmaster Show is a production of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC. On behalf of Team Buckmaster, our producer, Rosemary Brandt, and our marketing director, Deborah Howard, I am Bill Buckmaster, wishing you a wonderful and safe weekend. Have a great one.
Listen to this.
You're tuned into Tucson's best choice for local talk.
I love it, huh? Little back and forth, witty repartee.
KJLL, South Tucson.